Grab your Bible. It's time for Reading the Word with Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ on Faulkner Springs Road. Now, here's Justin.
Oh, thank you, Brother Dearman, and welcome back in, friends, as we begin a new topic of study today on Reading the Word. My name is Justin Reed, honored to be the pulpit minister for the Arlington Church of Christ, and we would be honored if you would come out and visit with us any chance that you may have. Now, this is program number 103. If you want to study this one again or share it with somebody else anytime online, feel free to do so. The website they're all archived at is readingtheword.net. That's R-E-A-D-I-N-G, readingtheword.net. Click on where it says radio program. After there, you can find all of them and listen at any time. Today, I want to talk about the fruit of our labor. The fruit of our labor. You know, Jesus Christ, my best friend, said it best, that we will be known by our fruits. For instance, an apple tree is known for bearing forth apples. That's just plain and simple. A pear tree pears. It's known by its fruits. Well, notice here what Paul says in Philippians chapter 1, beginning in verse 21. Paul says, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose I wot not, or I know not." He says, "For I am estranged betwixt two, having a desire to depart, to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you." Paul says, "I'd rather go on to my eternal reward, yet it is more beneficial for you if I stay here. So I will stay here if the Lord permits." But key in verse 32, "But if I live conditional in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I do not know." He was waiting on the Lord to make that decision if he should live or go on to his eternal reward. Well, we see that Paul knew that as he lived for Christ, it would produce certain fruit. If you've got your Bible handy, if you'd flip over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we're going to spend the rest of our time in study today in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, as we talk about the fruit of our labor. Now, I'm reading from the King James translation, by the way. So, Paul knew that living for Christ would produce fruit, and that fruit would be soul winning. I've got the 7 C's of soul winning I want to share with you in our time remaining. Number 1, look at verse 9, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. "Wherefore we labor that, whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him." Paul, soul winning. Number 1, there was compulsion. He was compelled to win souls. You know, every time I see someone on the road, on the interstate, at the grocery store, at a restaurant, or the case may be, I look at that person and I think they have a soul. And that soul is going to spend an eternity in one of two places, heaven if it's been faithful and hell if it has not been faithful. And that compulsion makes me want to go out and save souls. Paul understood that. We are laboring. Why? To be accepted of him. Keep going in verse 10. We find our second C. There is a compensation. See, Paul was looking forward to his reward. Notice this. "For we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to what he has done, whether it be good or bad." See, Paul knew there was a compensation awaiting him. And if anybody understood that, it would be the Apostle Paul, who suffered so many things. In fact, he was going to talk about that in the 11th chapter of this book. But all the times, 3 times in the writing, 4 times total, suffering shipwreck, the number of times he was beaten, stoned, left for dead, perils among country and his own brethren and the heathen and in the countryside. Paul knew he would be compensated. Notice he said, "We all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ to receive the things done in the body, according to what you've done, whether it be good or bad." We are waiting for that compensation as Christians, dear friends. That's our second C of soul winning. We continue on, verse 11 of 2 Corinthians 5. There's a conviction. Notice this. "Therefore, knowing, therefore, I should say, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men." but we are made manifest unto God. I also trust your conscience, made manifest in your consciences. See, Paul is convicted, therefore, knowing the terror of the Lord. As I go back, that's what we said a moment ago about seeing everybody with a soul. I'm compelled, I'm convicted, because the lost go to hell and the saved go to heaven. Therefore, knowing the terror of the Lord, I know what God has said in His Word. We can quote it. We can open it right here and right now and study it together. We know what God's Word says about His forthcoming judgment on the wicked.
And therefore, knowing that, I do everything in my utmost power to keep people from
believing that. Paul was convicted. He knew of a compensation, and there was also a compulsion. Let's look at number 4, then we'll have to take a break. Look at verse 14 of 2 Corinthians 5. There's compassion, if you will. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because this we thus judge that if one died for all, then all were dead. We see there's a compassion motivated by or for the love of Christ. It constraineth us. Paul was motivated by Christ's love, the love of the Son of God in an earthly body, hanging upon the cross to die for the sins of the world. Knowing that, seeing that compassion, he was motivated to preach the gospel.
Reading the Word is hosted by Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ in McMinnville. The building is located at 2500 Faulkner Springs Road, just 1.2 miles off 70 on the right. Join us for Sunday worship at 9 a.m., Sunday school at 10 a.m., and worship at 11 a.m. with midweek Bible study Wednesday at 7 p.m.
Thank you, Brother Dearman, and we are back. Glad to be back with you as always here as we continue our study on reading the Word. Now, we're looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and if you missed maybe some of our topic of study today or want to study again, you can do that anytime online, once again, at readingtheword.net. That's R-E-A-D-I-N-G, readingtheword.net. Click on where it says the radio program, and you can find all of them. This is number 103, and the fruit of our labor. We're talking about 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I would encourage you, if you have your copy of Scriptures handy, to flip it over there. We've looked at the seven C's of soul winning. We've looked at there is a compulsion, verse 9. Paul was compelled to win souls. There's a compensation, verse 10. He looked forward to his reward. There's a conviction, verse 11, knowing that the lost go to hell and he wants to save all. And we just talked about a compassion, verse 14, how he's motivated by the love of Christ. Let's pick back up our study, if you will, as we look at the seven C's of soul winning with verses 16 and 17. Paul has confidence. Notice this. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth we know him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We know there's a confidence. The saved souls are new creations. If any man, notice verse 17, be in Christ. In is a preposition. In Christ is your prepositional phrase. If any man be in Christ, what? He is a new creature. Every time I read this passage of Scripture, I can't help but think of butterflies. You see, butterflies, they start out life as a caterpillar. The caterpillar lives his life until a certain point. He builds a cocoon, and science has told us that while he's in that cocoon, there comes a point where he becomes all goop. Well, it's not goop is not the scientific term, but he becomes all goop, and then the molecules in there restructure themselves, and he comes out, and DNA is completely different, and he becomes a butterfly, a beautiful creation of God. So what I think about, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. He says the old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That old life of sin, you live no more. And we have confidence that the saved souls are new creations. We need to keep going or we will run out of time. The sixth C of soul winning is a charge. Verse 18, he says, all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. He hath given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. There, what's the charge? It's that message of reconciliation. To reconcile is a banking term originally, and it means to bring everything together and balance out. You reconcile the books at the end of a day, at the end of the month. Well, we see we are preaching what? The ministry of reconciliation. How we as Christians, we have been brought back together in a harmonious relationship with the Lord. That is our charge, that message of reconciliation, dear friends. That is something I preach every time I proclaim God's word, and I hope that you do as well when you study it. Let's look at our final C of soul winning. That's a character, verses 20 and 21. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in God's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The character of God. See, God reconciles with his perfect sacrifice. We are ambassadors. And the idea of ambassador in Greek is an official political dignitary. You go on the behalf of a country to another country. You're an ambassador here for the United States. I have met people who are ambassadors for different countries. I've walked by the Ambassador New Zealand's house in Washington, D.C. So I took a wrong turn trying to go somewhere, but I stopped, took a picture. It was a nice residence. But that person was acting on official authority of the New Zealand government. We are to be ambassadors for Christ. We look at the character of God, verse 21, he made Jesus to be sin for us. Jesus didn't sin, but Jesus took on my sin as if it was his own. How do we win souls? There are seven C's according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 9, there's a compulsion. Once again, we are compelled to win souls. Number 2, there is a compensation, verse 10. Paul looked forward to his reward. There's a conviction, verse 11. We know that the lost will go to hell, therefore we want to save all. Therefore, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Number 4, there is compassion, the 14th verse. We are motivated by the love of Christ. And it is that love of Christ that makes me love everyone else. What else do we see? Number 6, the 6C is charge, verse 18. There is a message of reconciliation to be brought back into a harmonious relationship with our Lord. Then finally, there is character, verses 20 and 21. God reconciles with his perfect sacrifice, that of Jesus the Christ. You know, we sing in one of our hymnals from time to time, Lord, lead me to some soul today. Here's our motivation as we conclude this episode of Reading the Word. To go out and be a soul winner for Christ. We may not be physical fishermen, dear friends, but we are fishing for men. As we are making fishers of men, we will follow him, as the Vacation Bible School song says. Go out and win souls for Christ. It is definitely worth it. Dear friends, we're going to have to stop here. Our time has about escaped us once again. If you want to join this program again anytime, readingtheword.net, R-E-A-D-I-N-G, readingtheword.net. Click on where it says radio program. You can listen to them or stream them there. They're free as always. Never would charge you for this. We're just glad that you have been along. We hope you'll join us next week, same time, Lord willing. We'll begin a brand new topic of study. May the good Lord bless you. And may he keep you.
This has been Reading the Word with Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ on Faulkner Springs Road in McMinnville.
From the International Gospel Hour, this is 60 Seconds for the Savior. I'm Jeff Archie. The words of Proverbs 23:7 tell us, "For as a man thinks in his heart, so is he." Sometimes we have things that are thought of in our hearts that do not need to come forth in our lives. Don't think about the following. How about this phrase, nobody loves me? Well, dear friend, God loves you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life, John 3:16. Knowing the love of God should help us to realize that we are loved of God and that there are others that love us as well. Always know, dear friends, people love you. And let them help you. For example, contact us at internationalgospelhour.com. We'd love to hear from you. And thanks for taking 60 Seconds for the Savior, and have a good day.